Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson here. It's a Thursday preview, which means that we are presented by Stamps.com. Avoid trips to the post office. You don't want to go to the post office. It's Christmas time. It's going to be jammed full of old people using the post office because that's what they do. You're young. You're cool. You use Stamps.com instead to buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your computer. Get a four-week trial and a $110 bonus offer. It's like free money. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone, and type in the promo code FFT. Joining me again this week, Nick Costas. What's up, dude?
You know what I'm not going to do this holiday season, Will? I'm not going to go to the post office. I'm going to use Stamps.com, and that was a superb read. Whenever Stamps.com is paying you, they need to double that. That was fantastic.
Thank you. I actually don't know what they're paying me, and that was a totally off-the-cuff read. I
mean, totally ad-libbed.
I had the basics there, but, I mean, primarily off-the-cuff. So we're going to tell you how to make, speaking of free money.
And speaking of off-the-cuff.
Yeah, we're gonna riff on these games. We have booted Pete Prisco from this podcast. I think Pete's probably fine with it. We're fine with it.
Adios, Pete.
Smell you later, Peter. I probably should have texted Pat Kerwin and told him we were not doing it. We're gonna test it out and see how this Thursday goes with you and me in the studio in CBS, picking games against the spread rather than talking football. Like, you know, Brady and Pat and Pete do their thing where they talk about days of yore when men were men and people played football for stuff. And we're going
to
talk.
And went to the post office.
Right, right. Yeah. They're post office men. Stamps.com doesn't even sponsor their section of the podcast because they're too old.
Well, you said that, not me. I'll let you on that one.
I love Pete, Pat, and Brady. They're all my good friends. So we're going to run through the games for week 13 as we head to hurdle towards the end. And I guess we'll take it into the playoffs, although I won't be coming down here. We'll figure it out as we go, just like this particular podcast. We'll start off with Houston at Buffalo. This is a trap game and a half for gamblers. Houston's been white hot the last few games.
White hot.
White hot.
White hot.
Remember, they got blown out by Miami, and everybody's like, well.
Well, they couldn't tackle anyone in that game.
They're like, let's fire Rick Smith. Let's fire Bill O'Brien. This is all Ryan Mallett's fault. He hit the snooze button. He didn't show up for work. This team is garbage. Arian Foster's out. Light it all on fire and let's reboot Houston later. And now we head into week 13 and they're a playoff team.
That's wild.
They're going to Buffalo. Buffalo's 5-6, but Buffalo's favorite here. Why is that?
The reason is because Buffalo will win the game. Buffalo playing at home here. And look, it's a Houston football team. And I understand, Will, you might get confused and see Houston in the NFL and think that Warren Moon's playing quarterback. And I wouldn't blame you if you thought that. But in fact, it is not Warren Moon. Hell, it's not even Matt Schaub, the vintage Matt Schaub. It's Brian Hoyer under center. And while Hoyer is certainly capable of a positive game here and there, he's still Brian Hoyer. Going on the road in Orchard Park in the adverse weather conditions with that Bills defense and Rex Ryan, and I'm not a huge Rex Ryan fan. And how about Rex Ryan and Greg Roman collectively coaching the second half of the game at Arrowhead Stadium last week with their hands wrapped around their throats. Handed the game on a silver platter to Andy Reid and company. That was bad, but it will be good this week. Bills at home. Sammy Watkins, you saw what he's capable of last week. Liked what I saw from Tyrod Taylor. I think LeSean McCoy will have a nice game. And the Texans defense comes back to earth a little bit. I like the Buffalo Bills to win and the Buffalo Bills to cover.
The other thing I like, too, about this game is that Rex Ryan runs a roller coaster. Like, I mean, if you look at it, I thought the Chiefs were – I was surprised when the Bills got out to an early lead, but I thought the Chiefs were one of my best bets last week because I thought that Rex –
You got lucky.
I did, but I still got it.
Thank you for admitting it.
Yeah, yes. I mean, sure. But look, Rex Ryan coming off a game against the Patriots is too amped up. That was my main concern. I don't care what the line was. I thought that the Chiefs would handle business. Two straight road games. Now they head back home, and this is a game where their backs are against the wall. And this is the sort of game
like
where
a feral animal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Rex is in the corner, like freaking out, like, you know, with like
claws exposed. Rawr.
I would if Rex was a superhero dressed as a raccoon, I feel like that would be an amusing superhero. You know, like Cartman in South Park when he's
oh yeah, like will he be yelling at people to respect his authority?
Yeah, exactly. But this is a game where I think he gets him amped up. And I think the line is too obvious to take the Texans.
I completely
agree.
And
that's a red flag game, as we've talked about on this podcast. So I'm with you. I almost feel like I may have stupidly taken Houston. No, yeah, I took Houston, which means I'm probably going to flip that. The hook got me. If it moved, I mean, you know, it's like you're like, well, Houston's definitely going to keep it within 3.5.
I like Buffalo even at -3.5.
But that's what I'm saying. It's such a red flag game.
They try and trap you into taking Houston.
I made my picks this week for our NFL expert picks page in the fog of a NyQuil induced
I figured that's where you would have done your best work.
In the drug-induced
haze.
That's right. It was a NyQuil-induced haze. Yeah, so I may actually stick with him. Or who the hell knows?
I just can't wait till you tell me Philly's going to beat the Patriots. That'll be fun.
That's the trap game of the week, my friend. San Francisco at Chicago, 7.5-point spread. People are begging for you to take who here?
The Chicago Bears, obviously. I can't believe that I'm saying this, but I like what I've seen from Blaine Gabbert. I'm Ron Burgundy.
I'm with you. It's weird.
It's wild. I went on Daily Fantasy Live maybe about 3 weeks or a month ago whenever the Niners benched Kaepernick and said that the only way I'd feel confident in Blaine Gabbert playing quarterback for the Niners is if they were playing LSU. But Blaine Gabbert actually hasn't been terrible.
He's looked like the prospect that we saw coming out of Missouri.
And with Sean Drone, they resurrected his carcass. I mean, he's been brought back from
the
dead.
Is Jim Tomsula doing a good job?
I'm Ron Burgundy. I don't know. I think that he might be. And look, they covered last week, and this is a spot where the Bears are really overvalued. I don't think the Bears are good enough to be a touchdown favorite against anybody. And they won on national TV last week against the Packers, recency bias.
Jay Cutler's best game ever.
Yeah, Cutler was fantastic, and he deserves the plaudits that he got for his performance in that game. But bottom line, I think 7 too many points. And I'm going to throw a name out you here. Vance McDonald, the Niners tight end, with Vernon Davis now in Denver. Garrett Celek's hobbled. Vance McDonald scored last week. I think Vance McDonald's going to score a couple times on Sunday. I wouldn't be shocked if the Niners pulled the outright upset. And I love, not like love, Blaine Gabbert. Who needs Joe Montana and Steve Young, Jeff Garcia and company? Give me Blaine Gabbert to cover the spread against the Bears on Sunday.
You're an insane person. But I think when you start to look at the games that they played with Gabbert, they beat the Falcons straight up, 17-16. That Niners defense is playing better. They got beat by 16 points in Seattle.
They could have covered
that spread.
It was
a much closer game.
Yep.
Much closer game. And then they only lost by 6 at home against the Cardinals. This is a team that's being kind of a pain in the ass for people, even though they're not very good.
Yeah, and look, you don't have Kaepernick out there making mistakes. And I think the most telling quote, remember what the Honey Badger said before the game last week? They knew where Colin Kaepernick was going to throw the ball. Now, look, I still think Kaepernick's got outrageous physical talent, and I would not bet against him having a career resurrection somewhere else next year or in the future. But right now, I'm liking what I'm seeing. I can't believe I'm saying it from Blaine Gabbert, Jeep Christ, and the San Francisco 49ers offense.
My man, Steve Logan doing it. So you like the 49ers obviously getting a touchdown plus on the road there. Cleveland hosting Cincinnati, another game with a large point spread. This one, albeit a road chalk game. Cincy, 9.5-point favorite going into Cleveland. Do you trust Austin Davis?
Yes. Do I trust Austin Davis to
with
win
your
the
life,
game?
Would you trust Austin Davis to watch your non-existent children?
I
perhaps non-existent children.
I wouldn't probably trust Austin Davis to mow my lawn correctly, but what I will trust Austin Davis to do is keep the game within 10 points, and I'll take the Cleveland Browns here. I think I'm, as the sports line expert, I think I'm contractually obligated to never lay, a spread like that with a road team. I just can't do it. There's something in my moral fiber that prevents me from doing so. I think you've got a couple factors at play here. The Bengals have looked really good recently. Public back on Cincinnati after the horrendous Monday night loss to the Houston Texans. And Cleveland, the way that they lost on Monday in excruciating fashion, going to Austin Davis this week as opposed to Johnny Manziel, the whole world's going to be on the Bengals. Let them lose and put some more bricks in the Bellagio. I will back Austin Davis and the Browns, not to win the game outright, but I think they will give a plucky effort, and I like Cleveland to cover that big number.
It wasn't that long ago that they were cranking out these plucky efforts. Remember, they beat the Ravens on the road. They only lost to the Broncos by 3 in overtime at home. And then they kind of went on this, 5-game losing streak, 6-game losing streak now. But they're not a good team.
No.
They don't have any weapons.
They lost to the Ravens. The Ravens are horrible.
The Ravens are horrible. They lost to the Ravens. Yeah. And was that the worst? Was that the worst, most painful ending to a game you've ever seen?
I mean, I guess you could say that the Michigan State ending was
that even, was worse. That was worse.
Because those were two good teams and the stakes were actually high.
Yeah.
But I mean, you see the videos were priceless of the Browns fans.
The dude doing the selfie.
The selfie expecting the field goal to be made and then the Ravens return the blocked kick back. You can't make it up.
But the best part about that selfie wasn't that, the two best parts. One, you're taking a victory selfie for a 2-8 football team. What are you celebrating here? And then the second part is when it was blocked, he didn't even freak out, he just put his head down and walked away.
It's almost as if like he knew, like that kid knew. Like we need to get the lottery numbers from that kid.
He wasn't taking a victory selfie. He was taking a disappointed blocked field goal selfie.
And it's like, but he knew beforehand. Yeah. And not only that, but Travis Kuhns, he hadn't missed a field goal all. He had just set the NFL record for most consecutive field goals to start a career. And still, that kid knew. You know who Jimmy Haslam should be taking personnel advice from? Not the homeless guy that told him to draft Johnny Manziel. The kid that knew that Kuhns' field goal was going to be blocked in return for a touchdown.
He's actually more intelligent than the homeless guy.
Oh, and there is the shock of the millennium.
That's right. And Ray Farmer.
Yeah.
In order of hierarchy of knows most about the Browns, it's random kid taking selfie and stands, homeless guy, Ray Farmer.
And related story, Ray Farmer and the homeless guy will go to the post office for Christmas. That kid will go to stamps.com.
Man, that's a pretty solid plug right there, my friend. All right, so you got the Browns getting 9.5 at home in a divisional game. It should be that easy. All right, this is the trap game of all trap games to me. The Miami Dolphins, the line has moved down. It's 3.5 on our CBS Sports NFL scoreboard page. It opened at 5.5. The Baltimore Ravens going to Miami. Miami minus more than a field goal. This is a Miami team that's 4-7, a Ravens team coming off an emotional victory. I think it's probably because they're not very good, and they had Matt Schaub at quarterback, Buck Allen, Crockett, Gilmore, who else do they have? Kamar Aiken,
Chris Gibbons.
These are their high-profile skill position
Some dude
players.
With the last name Butler, whose first name is escaping me at the moment.
Look, it's okay if you don't know the Ravens' names. It's okay. It's not your fault. I mean, like, they're not good. I think that I lean Miami here because it's just two bad teams. You're like, well, I'll just take the points. I tend to go Miami here because I think they fired Bill Lazor on Monday. The Dolphins did. They're going to get Ryan Tannehill involved. I think Ryan Tannehill is going to be exuberant, going to get to do a little bit more with the ball, and they're going to run Lamar Miller.
Which way do you think I'm going in this game? Just curious as to what you think I'm going to say.
Probably Miami.
I think Miami's going to murder the Ravens on Sunday. Like, there's going to be
murder?
There'll actually be a dead Raven on the 50-yard line at Sun Life Stadium when it's all said and done.
Edgar Allan Costas.
Look, these are the Bells, by the way. Very underrated Pope home. The thing that about this game, it's neither team is really that good, but the Dolphins are significantly better than this iteration of the Ravens. This isn't the Joe Flacco, Terrell Suggs, Justin Forsett with Breshad Perriman, that Ravens team. This is the Matt Schaub, Kamar Aiken, Buck Allen Ravens team that you alluded to. The Dolphins should win this game going away, and I think that's what's going to happen. Matt Schaub, the living, breathing pick six, he's going to throw a pick six. Why? Because that's what Matt Schaub does, and I think Jarvis Landry is going to absolutely go off against a terrible Ravens secondary, and you know, watching the game on Monday night, when I was in college at Fordham University, I said that putting my nose in the air a little bit with pretense, when I would play people in Madden that didn't know what they were doing, I would run like the same three plays on offense because you didn't need to do anything more than that. It seemed like the Browns were running three plays on offense on Monday night and Baltimore couldn't cover any of them.
They're terrible.
And that was with Josh McCown and Travis Benjamin and Gary Barnage. Now you're going to have Tannehill and Jarvis Landry and Devontae Parker and Lamar Miller and Jay Ajayi. I think that's going to equal a double-digit Dolphin victory. I love Miami with the points.
I mean, the Browns stink.
The Browns are horrible.
And they kept it close with Baltimore, and it's like, oh, well, Baltimore eventually won with these bad guys. Maybe it's a short week. You're traveling down to Miami, and you're right, the talent level. And I really think that this is a – I think you mentioned Jarvis Landry. I think that Jarvis Landry and Ryan Tannehill are a sneaky DFS stack this week.
I think Jarvis Landry will be a top three receiver this week in DFS.
Because people aren't going to be on him because you got Cam Newton playing against the Saints. You got Ben Roethlisberger and the Colts going.
Tannehill scares me because I drafted him maybe in all of my leagues because I was really high on him.
In our picks that we had to name one breakout player, and I went with Ryan Tannehill.
I'm gun shy on Tannehill, but I love Jarvis Landry.
I just think that they're not gonna be able to run the ball as well as they would like, and then they're gonna have to throw the ball. And Tannehill wants to show that he can control this offense and be like, hey, Bill Lazor, Triple H, or whatever the suck it is, what you're going for.
Bill Lazor, I would rather have sharks with laser beams on their head calling offensive plays than Bill Lazor.
Why would you not give Ryan Tannehill some control over the offense?
You gave him
$100 million.
I blame Dan Campbell too. Dan Campbell's going, we want Ryan Tannehill to manage the game. Great, you pay me $100 million and I'll go manage the game for you.
This is why Dan Campbell's not be the head coach, by the way. His bosses paid somebody $100 million and he's like, let's not give this guy control.
It's really like there's no words for it.
It's stupid.
How do you accurately depict like the stupidity that's going on in that organization. You can't.
But they're still going to win.
But they will still win on Sunday.
In big fashion. All right, this is not boding well for our Brinson Costos pickoff. Although I guess I have the lead right now. Long story short, we made a bet what 3 weeks ago. We haven't really kept
all
track
right.
tabs
the
on it.
It starts this week.
Okay, we'll start it this week because we're doing the podcast.
Yes.
Record from starting from right now.
Yes.
Best bets.
Our five best bets.
Five best bets. What's your record in the Super Contest?
38-22.
Okay, I'm 39-21.
You would be right
in
now.
Fifth place. I know, I looked it up.
No, not fifth, but you'd be in maybe 13th.
That's really disappointing because I'm not in the contest.
Yeah.
So you're in top 25 range.
I am. If this contest ended today, I would be paid a five-figure sum.
Five figures?
Five figures.
You get five figures for top 25?
For top 25. Now, it might not be the high five figures, but it's five figures.
It's five figures, yeah. Are you collecting that five figures?
I'm not sure how it's going to work out. I'm really hoping to make it there by the season's end, and then we'll go from there.
Do they count the playoffs, too, or is it just regular season?
Just regular season, through week 17.
Oh, my God, it's going to be so mad. Because when I started doing the five bets per week, I was like, I'm not entering the contest. I'm definitely going to go do well.
You're 39?
Yeah.
I feel like I just want to fade you the rest of the season. No offense, but I think
you said
just,
that 3 weeks ago, and I've gone 4-1 twice.
All right, you know what? We'll see what happens this week.
That's
we'll see what happens.
I don't even
this
have
week.
My picks. I'm on a lot of cold medicine right now, so I don't know how this is even going to play out. It could be poorly. I do know one of my best
bets. This podcast
bets,
also brought to you by NyQuil.
That's right, and stamps.com. One of my best bets this week is going to be the Minnesota Vikings hosting the Seattle Seahawks. I think the public is going to be substantially loading on the Seahawks, who are 6-5 in the playoffs right now. You got a Minnesota team at home, Teddy Bridgewater playing well enough, Adrian Peterson running the ball very well, and I think you're going to see Russell Wilson come back to earth a little bit against the best defense he's played in 3 weeks.
I got to go the other way here. This is not going to be one of my five picks. I don't feel that strongly about it, but I'll take the Seahawks, and I'll tell you why. This Seattle team has been there, done that. Been to the last two Super Bowls, won one, lost one, obviously. While I love Teddy Bridgewater and Mike Zimmer and what they're building in Minnesota, they haven't been there yet. Can they deal with success? This is a crucial game in the season. This is a potential NFC playoff preview. I believe if the season ended today, this would be the 3-6 matchup. It'd be Seattle at Minnesota. If that were the case, I would take the Seahawks to win this game. Russell Wilson has big game experience. Teddy Bridgewater does not. This is not a long-term indictment of the Vikings, but I think Seattle, the better team, Seattle needs it more, and I think Seattle gets it done. Russell Wilson, a couple rushing touchdowns in this game, his first ones of the season. Give me the Seahawks.
It would be Seahawks at Green Bay. I mean, Seahawks at Minnesota and Green Bay at Washington. What a world we live in. Panthers and the Cardinals at the 1-2 seeds. A lot can change. I mean, and I've been saying this all week, anytime I've been doing a radio hit, you do not want to be the wild card team getting the Seahawks in the playoffs, because even like the Seahawks gave up the most yards they've ever given up, passing yards ever in the history of the franchise, against the Steelers,
and won by nine,
and had four interceptions
and covered.
Yes,
most important.
But I mean, like, I just think that this Seahawks team, we're like, well, the Legion of Boom is kind of falling apart. They can turn it on once the playoffs roll around.
See, I wouldn't. I think that they could potentially go into Carolina and beat the Panthers. I think the Cardinals would beat them by double digits in the desert.
In Arizona?
In Arizona.
Interesting. The Panthers and the Seahawks are built similarly, and they've played really close games. I wouldn't expect – I mean, the Panthers already played them once. I would not expect the Panthers to blow them out. I think it would be an awesome game.
And the Panthers in the one playoff game that – well, the one when they had a bye 2 years ago, I thought played pretty tight in that game against the 49ers.
Very
the game
tight.
When Kaepernick and company, they won that game.
Yeah. They played very tight last year against the Cardinals. They should have slaughtered that Cardinals team with Ryan Lindley.
I mean, you started a quarterback in that game, right? Oh, it was Ryan Lindley?
Yeah, Ryan.
You talk about what a world we live in. Ryan Lindley starting playoff
I think games. this is a different Panthers team, though, because of that win against the Arizona Cardinals. But you get to been there, done that since. But, yeah, I mean, look, if Seattle was playing the Panthers, they would go into Carolina knowing that they can win there and potentially advance.
See, Green Bay is still my team in the NFC, which I think is probably a little ludicrous at this point to still say, but I can't go against Aaron Rodgers. And I think you got to give the Giants a shot also. I mean, we've seen it 2007, 2011, the law of four.
Let's talk about the Giants. They're underdogs at home because they're playing another team that plays in New York. This is your Super Bowl, Nick, as a New Yorker, right?
Yes. Yes. Technically, I mean, in 2011.
You're a native New Yorker, right?
I lived there my entire life.
So, like, your entire family will be at this game.
I have a lot
this
of family.
This game is your entire family.
Not only that, but there's it's a little Hatfield and McCoy situation here. As my sister, who obviously grew up a Giants fan, married a Jets fan, and they had to make the compromise here, where my sister has now become a Jets fan, but their children will be Jets Yankees. So he's a Mets fan, my brother-in-law.
Wait. So they negotiated.
That's an amazing. For the kids. He's Jets Mets. We're Giants Yankees. Because, of course, we are winners in my family. So we are Giants.
You
Yankees
guys are Giants
fans.
Yankees. He's Jets Mets.
Jets Mets.
Jesus. I mean, no offense to the guy, but I mean, like.
Well, unfortunately, like.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
Great guy. But unfortunately, it's usually one of the two. You're the Giants Yankees. They very rarely have crossover. You really won't have. Jets Yankees, for instance, that it happens sometimes, but it's usually Jets Mets Giants.
That's geographic, right?
No,
it's just random.
I don't know. I wish
you
I had
just
the
think
answer.
People are just attracted. It's like, because if I was a Mets fan, I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to be a Giants fan. That way, I can get a little.
Yeah. Now, look, like I said, you do have people who will root. There is some cross pollination, but for the most part, it's usually set like that. So this is very important because I want to. Shove it in my sister's face and my brother-in-law's face here and have the Giants get a big win as they did on Christmas Eve 4 years ago.
She converted to Jets.
She converted to Jets, but...
Is that a bigger deal than converting to Judaism? I feel like it is.
I think that I'm angrier about her converting to Jets than I would be were Catholic if she were to convert to Judaism. It makes me angry.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And I mean, and look...
I wouldn't even care at all if she converted to Judaism, but I'm angry that she converted to Jets.
Because, I mean, like, you grew up rooting for the Giants with her.
Not just rooting for the Giants, but, like life and death with the Giants. And my dad, our grandfather...
Now she's a Jets fan.
She doesn't care either way.
I guess she gets the Yankees, though.
She gets the Yankees.
Good for her kids.
That's what I say.
Yeah, exactly. Because the Jets, you know, but so Jets, Giants. The Giants are underdogs here. I find that interesting because Darrelle Revis probably not going to play. Hadn't practiced as of Wednesday. As of Thursday, I don't believe. Odell Beckham's been going off the last 4 weeks. 8 catches, 120 yards on average per game, including 4 touchdowns, 3 in one game. He's playing very well. Eli Manning kind of dialed on him. I don't know if the New York Jets can stop the New York Giants on offense.
Well,
but the New York Giants offensive line is garbage.
If I were Darrelle Revis, to be honest, you know, I'd like
probably wouldn't
like Ron Burgundy. Like, you know what the Ron Burgundy references? Why don't you just sit the next couple plays out? Because if he does play on Sunday, he gonna get torn up by Odell Beckham Jr. Because he's not. And look, Revis is a Hall of Famer.
You think Revis is done?
I'm not saying he's dumb, but he's not Darrelle Revis anymore.
Right.
He's not Deion Sanders anymore.
If Darrelle Revis played, he's probably going to cover Reuben Randle and lock down Reuben Randle.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you could lock down Reuben. Reuben Randle can't catch the ball.
All I'm saying, that's what they're going to do. They'd shift.
Reuben Randle is essentially Davante Adams in a Giants uniform. he can't catch the ball.
But that's what they would do is put him up. They would have him follow Reuben Randle. Lock down Reuben Randle, then just do corner safety help on
great, and we'll see how well that works out.
Right.
Spoiler alert, not well.
Probably not well.
I think the only way to look is the Giants getting the points. That's not a homer pick. I had the Redskins last week as one of my best bets. I am a Giants fan, full disclosure, but making money is more important to me, so I will always pick against the Giants if need be. I will not do that this week. I will take the New York Giants, the home team, against the home team, the New York Jets, and I think Odell Beckham Jr., at least 170 yards receiving, a couple touchdowns.
170?
I like the Giants to win this game outright and improve to 6-6.
Is this a best bet scenario?
It is not.
It is not. Okay. All right. You let me know. Well, we'll go over the best bets at the end. Arizona at St. Louis. St. Louis getting 6 points at this stage of the thing. At this stage of the season, the campaign.
Yeah.
I don't. This stage of the week. It's again NyQuil, sponsored by NyQuil and Stamps.com. Arizona has been playing very well. I like the Cardinals in this game, even on the road, even in a division game, because I think, and the only reason I don't like the Cardinals is because Jeff Fisher had that whole effort thing. He had his effort question. He told everybody to kiss his A, which makes me think I should have bleeped out the earlier A. But
yeah, if you're gonna say it, you might as well keep saying it.
Told everybody to kiss his ass.
Yeah.
And you wonder if Jeff Fisher will have his guys particularly motivated, but I want to know where the hell is Todd Gurley?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but Jeff Fisher actually has it in his contract now where after every loss, he has to get into it with either a media member, a former player who's now in the media, or the opposing head coach. It has to be one of
or
the
Or Rodney
three.
Harrison.
And that's the Jeff Fisher post-game bingo card. Fill it out because he's guaranteed to go off on someone after his team loses. Now, I have to say, Will, we're talking best bets here, the Costos-Brinson capping challenge, and you said you liked the Cardinals. Let's go head-to-head on this one, buddy, because I'm going to give you my best bet of the entire week.
The
number
Rams?
One, the St. Louis Rams. This checks off all the Nick Costos sports gambling boxes. All right, let's go through it. The Cardinals have won a couple games recently on national television. Carson Palmer, MVP candidate. Bruce Arians, media darling. People love the Cardinals. The Rams, falling apart at the seams. Terrible quarterback play, whether it's Foles or Case Keenum. Can't get Todd Gurley going. No semblance of an offense. Jeff Fisher cursing out everybody. And they're 6-point underdogs at home. What does that mean is going to happen? It means the Rams will win the game outright on Sunday behind a great defensive effort, get Todd Gurley back going, and all they need is for Nick Foles or Case Keenum. Maybe they combine Voltron style to form like a Mark Bulger level of competency at the quarterback position, and they can win this game, but I'm going to call it Rams win outright.
Wow.
I'll take the Rams +5.5 or +6, and you can take the Arizona Cardinals,
right,
and we'll see where the chips fall on
this
Sunday.
This is one of my best bets, so there we go. We got a little head-to-head, which means that one of us will pick up some points. The Rams, by the way, haven't won since November 1st when they beat the 49ers, and they beat the Browns the week before that. It's possible. I don't want to be crazy here, but it's possible that the Rams are terrible.
Yes.
And by the way, Jeff Fisher, 12...
But the Niners are terrible, and they covered last week against Arizona.
I saw this on Twitter today. I don't know who tweeted it, so I'm stealing it. Jeff Fisher, 12 games away from the most losses of any head coach. He's 12 games away from catching... 12 losses away from catching Dan Reeves for most losses all time by a head coach. He's also 12 games
above. At least Dan Reeves went to 4 Super Bowls. Yeah. Jeff Fisher went to one.
But Fisher is 12 games above 500 for his career, too. So if he loses the next 12, he would not only catch Dan Reeves, but be 500.
And I think that would really be the appropriate ending of Jeff Fisher's coaching career.
That's
lose
right.
the next 12 games to get to 500, and then Stephen Ross takes him in a private plane to Miami and gives him $10 million a year to coach the Dolphins.
And he drops the mic at 500 even and just walks away from the game, perpetually mustachioed. By the way, on this podcast, I was about to say on the Roughing the Passer podcast, which you're listening to, this podcast. Yeah, I don't know. See, like in radio, you know, because you worked in radio, you always have to reset.
Yes.
And in podcasts, I don't think you do that because somebody's downloaded, you know what I'm saying? You're listening to the Roughing the Passer podcast, Will Brinson, Nick Costos. I have a trouble doing that when I do radio because I don't think about resetting. But on this podcast previously, we asked Todd, no, I take that back. This is on my radio show. I got confused. Todd Gurley came
sponsored by NyQuil.
Todd Gurley came on. You can listen to it Saturdays, 10 a.m. to noon. Tori Holt, myself, we do a radio show. But Todd Gurley came on, and he said that he had been told Jeff Fisher's had that mustache since his sophomore year in high school.
I mean.
Amazing.
Yeah, I don't know.
The way it should be, right?
I guess.
You don't have anything to do with
it. I don't think so. I don't think so.
Atlanta, Tampa Bay.
Maybe the podcast should be sponsored by Gillette.
That's actually a good idea. Atlanta at Tampa Bay. We'll take all sponsors. We love you, Stamps.com, but you know, we'll sponsor segments in here. Atlanta at Tampa Bay, the Buccaneers -1.5. They are on the fringe of the playoff contention at 5-6. Atlanta in an absolute free fall. A little surprised this line isn't bigger.
I don't have a strong lean on this one. You make me pick a side. I'll take the Falcons. I do think Atlanta's still the better team than Tampa Bay. At some point, Matt Ryan's got to snap out of it.
Right.
I don't know if he's going to go for 404, but maybe he'll go for 250-2. Maybe if Kyle Shanahan gets his head out of his A, as you said earlier, and realizes that he needs to get the ball to his best player, that would be Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Maybe the Falcons can actually win a damn game. I think it happens this week.
Do you remember the first part of the season when Julio Jones was setting target records?
Oh, and we were inducting Dan Quinn into the Hall of Fame. Yeah.
And the Falcons were winning games.
And Kyle Shanahan was going to be the next head coach of X NFL team.
Yeah, any NFL team he wanted. The last 7 games for the Falcons have been a loss to the Saints on the road, 10-point loss to the Saints on the road, a 3-point win against the Titans on the road, a 3-point loss to the Buccaneers at home, a 1-point loss to the 49ers and Blaine Gabbert and Blaine Gabbert's debut, a 3-point loss to the Colts at home when they were winning, and then a 10-point loss to the Vikings at home. They now go embark even on a 3-game road trip at Tampa Bay, at Carolina, at Jacksonville. This is a spot where it's like all of a sudden, is Dan Quinn on the hot seat?
Already?
What if they lose 3 straight on the road and they're 6-8? They're going ahead. I mean, what if they lose?
You better hope Arthur Blank's too busy with Home Depot around Christmas time to see what's going on with his dirty birds.
I mean, but seriously, I mean, I don't really think he's on the hot seat. But I mean, like, if you lose... I mean, how many straight?
If you lose out, if they go 6-10,
I mean,
yeah, that would be bad.
People have been fired for work. And look, they got to play the Panthers twice. It's a tough schedule. I like the Buccaneers in this game.
All right, I'll go with the Falcons.
Right, there we go. Jacksonville at Tennessee. We had this scorcher on Thursday night recently. This is going to be a better game because it's not on a short week, I think.
I'll take the Jaguars. The game's going to be terrible. I like Blake Bortles. Marcus Mariota cost me money last week with
that
his awful.
That was an all-time. You were complaining about that at like 10 p.m. on Twitter.
I'm still upset about it. And like, you know, you try to, as a gambler, you try to have a level head with these things. And like, because stuff happens.
You got to move on. Sure. Yeah.
Stuff
yeah,
happens. Yeah, yeah. I've had some truly, truly heart-wrenching losses that you just, you laugh, you bounce back from it.
Do you have an all-time, that pops to your head, the all-time worst beat?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the one that caused me the most like distress afterwards.
Yeah, because I know what mine is.
All right, so I'll give you two, one of which I laughed about. Last year, I had the Jets plus +8 at home against the Broncos. They were covering the whole game, and on the last play of the game, Geno threw a pick six to Aqib Talib.
I remember that. And the Broncos covered. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That one I actually laughed about because I saw it coming. I was like, this is probably going to did. My worst beat, I believe it was week one of the 2008 season.
Okay.
At that point, I was, and look, you should never take bet parlays or teasers. They're sucker bets. So
sure,
let me say that. I was a sucker at this point.
They're fun, though.
Yeah, they're fun. Yeah, in the moment, and then you lose, and then it stinks.
Yeah. Then you lose the first one, and you're like, oh.
I had a four-team teaser. It was, I'm pretty sure, week one, 2008. For like $100, which at the time for me as a radio producer, I mean, I might as well have been betting like my year's salary
at that point.
For $100. And it came down, I needed the Carolina Panthers were on the road against the Chargers to just, no, the Chargers at home against the Panthers to just win the game. All they needed to do was win the game. And they were big favorites in the game. DeLome, I think it was his last year in Carolina. And Carolina's driving down the field at the end, and the only way that I can lose, it's like the 30-yard line, is a walk-off touchdown. And on the last play of the game, Jake DeLome hits the immortal Dante Rosario
in the back of
the end zone. And I'm sitting there with all my friends, and they know that like what needs to happen. The only way that I can lose is a touchdown on the final play, and it happens. And I'm sitting there legitimately catatonic. Like, no expression.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I look like Dracula. Like, all the blood's drained out of my face. I have no color. And I just remember, like, walking out and thinking, I'm never gambling again. And then I think I gambled on the Monday night game the next night. But that was the worst one ever.
The worst beat, and this is not even close because it stinks so bad. Because I'm an NC State guy, right? NC State and Carolina are playing football. Tom O'Brien's final year. Mike Glennon's senior season.
Okay.
NC State's leading by, oh no, it's tied game. Sorry, tied game. NC State is dogs by 6.5 points or seven points.
Who is on Carolina that you guys were dogs with Glennon?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think how this worked out. I'm walking through because it's been a while, but I mean, I just think it was the last time they played in Chapel Hill. It's in Chapel Hill because it's in Carolina, I guess.
Yeah.
NC State had struggled. They punt to Gio Bernard with a tie game. Gio Bernard takes the punt to the house.
Okay.
So at that point, with 10 seconds left, we're like, yeah, melting down, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, well, the good news is NC State's still going to cover the 7.5 points.
Glennon pick six.
No, worse. On the extra point, the snap is fumbled.
Okay. And they run it in for a two-point conversion.
He picks it up and throws it in for a two-point conversion to win by 8 and to cover the 7.5.
I mean.
So not only is it, because at that point we're like, NC State's going to, we're not losing these clowns by less than like a touchdown.
Yeah,
it's brutal. It's brutal.
But I urge people to Google Jake DeLome, Dante Rosario, San Diego Chargers. I guarantee it will come up. And I'm pretty sure it was week one, 2008.
All-time bad beats. Kansas City at Oakland. And if you got a great bad beat story, tweet at us, at Will Brinson, at The Costas.
THEKOSTOS.
That's right, yeah. Kansas City at Oakland. Oakland is home dogs?
Yeah.
I like Oakland.
I think I like Oakland too, but it scares me. If Justin Houston plays, and as of right now as we record this, it looks like he'll be a game-time decision. It makes things a lot more difficult. But I love what I saw from Derek Carr. And look, even though Jeff Triplett and company gave the Raiders a gift with that phantom holding call that cost me money and more points in the Super Contest, not that I'm bitter, Derek Carr still needed to throw the game-winning touchdown, which he did. He's really good.
Yeah.
Really good. And in theory, this should be a spot where he should be able to play well. I have a slight lean towards the Raiders. I will not have a financial investment of my own in this game. It will not be one of my Super Contest plays.
Yeah. It's not one of my five best bets, but I like the Raiders just because they're getting points at home. Houston banged up. And the Chiefs have been much better against wide receivers lately, but you're right, Carr. By the way, Carr, I tweeted out during the draft when he was taken that I, and this is just based on value, I hated Derek Carr coming into the draft. I said I'd rather have Tom Savage and whoever else you can get in the second round than Derek Carr.
Tom Savage.
I was
you fell for the Tom Savage hype.
But this is one of those tweets where Raiders fans retweet it like every they come back and like they.
Well, it's good that you did. Yeah, I mean, good. Yeah, get people fired up.
Yeah, but I mean, and so I'm like, look, and I didn't think he was that great coming out of last year. He didn't play that well his rookie season. He took a big leap.
He's been awesome.
And his the vertical ball and his the touch on his passes, he's already better than his brother.
It also helps that he has, well, it also helps that, A, he didn't get sacked 158 times in his rookie year like his brother
Amari
did.
Amari Cooper's a monster.
And second, he's got two legit receivers, and maybe even three if you include Seth Roberts with Cooper and Crabtree.
Absolutely, and Crabtree's making himself a pile of money. Denver at San Diego, another home dog in an AFC West battle. The Chargers getting 4 points. They're 3-8 now. Denver 9-2. The Denver defense has not played particularly well, but the offense is coming along with Brock Osweiler and Ronnie Hillman and CJ Anderson with the walk-off touchdown run.
I think this will be one of my best bets of the week.
Chargers?
Chargers.
Yeah.
Home dogs here. I think Broncos probably a little overvalued coming off the win on national television against the Patriots. And look, Mike McCoy's probably going to get fired. And I'm not saying I'm not saying that he should or he shouldn't. You're right. He probably should. But I do give him credit because it looked like this team was dead in the water.
Yep.
After getting annihilated by the Chiefs, pulled themselves off the mat last week, road win against the Jaguars. That's not exactly like going into Gillette and beating the Patriots.
No, but I mean, they were dead. I liked the Jaguars last week just because I was like, I'm betting against the Chargers the rest of the season.
And like a phoenix rising from the ashes, although I think
Phil Rivers.
I think the Chargers a lot less dramatic than the phoenix rising from the ashes. But
like Oscar coming out of the garbage can.
Like Oscar, that's really good. That was a lot better. So, I'm going to take the Chargers to keep this game close. I think Osweiler will not play particularly well in
this
game.
He was not good until late.
But he was great late.
He was great late. He made throws Peyton Manning can't make.
Yes, not anymore. And I'll take the Chargers with the points. I want to stop short right now, and we can maybe finalize this on Twitter at some point over the next couple days. I'm pretty sure that will be one of my five plays, but not 100% locked in yet.
All right, yeah, and people will have to go to sportsline.com. $10 a month, it's a steal. You get Nick's picks. You get you get analysis, daily fantasy stuff. I use it. I use it frequently. The NBA picks, by the way.
The NBA picks are outrageous.
Are fuego. The
yes.
A-picks in NBA, you should jump on that now while you still can. Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans is getting 7 points, actually. We'll say 7.5 against an undefeated Panthers team. It almost doesn't feel like enough because of how bad their defense has been. But I like the Saints here in a divisional game playing at home. I understand that Carolina's been rolling people, and I think they'll put up plenty of points, and I think their defense is very good. And I think they've got a chip on their shoulder because people don't believe in them, but I think New Orleans keeps it within a touchdown.
Damn it. I really, really wanted you to take Carolina because this is my second favorite pick. It's New Orleans. Again, this is the check off all the boxes game. Do I need to do it again? Carolina's been great. The Saints have been terrible. People want to bet Carolina, and then the Panthers win by 3, and everyone's shocked that it happened.
By the way, if I may channel my inner Costas.
Please do.
82% of the public money on Carolina against the spread.
That's almost
too much.
It's an auto play the other way.
It really
is. When it's over 80%, for me at least. I mean, unless it's like it's the
in a divisional
like the
game.
Patriots against Clemson.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, look, the Saints are not the impenetrable force that they once were in the Superdome, but season on the line, got shellacked last week against Houston. Carolina, undefeated at this point, I think maybe due for a bit of a letdown. I'm not saying the Panthers will lose the game, but I think it'll be close, and I think the outcome will be in doubt in the final minutes. Maybe the Panthers end up winning late field goal by Graham Gano, but you give me the Saints to cover the spread. That is my second favorite pick of the week.
If you were picking one game on the Panthers' schedule remaining, because I think they have 5 games, one against the Buccaneers, one against the Giants, 2 against the Falcons, and 1 against the Saints, if you're looking at those 5 games and you said, which is the least likely that they will lose, everyone that you asked would say the Saints game, which means that is probably the most likely game that they will lose because no one's expecting it, even off 10 days rest.
And look, I'm giving myself a bit of an out here, so I don't deserve all the credit if it does happen. I'm saying it like I'm taking the Saints with the points. I wouldn't be shocked if New Orleans won the game.
I wouldn't be shocked either, and I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world if the Panthers lost a game.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They don't need to be undefeated going into it. I mean, they're good enough to win the whole thing, but they don't need to be undefeated too much. Undefeated hype. Philly at New England, another big spread. New England, -9.5, -10, depending on where you're getting it. I love the Eagles.
I kind of like the Eagles, too.
Too much.
It's too much, and Philly's been so bad, and they've been bad in, like, on Thanksgiving, just brutal against the Lions. And
no team has given up 5 passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions in 3 straight games. The Eagles would be the first if they do it here.
And look, it's not outside the realm of possibility. Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, no Gronk now. We don't know if Amendola's going to play or not. And they just cut Chris Harper, who muffed the punt in the Broncos game. So who knows who he's going to throw the ball to. But I like to think, and a couple factors in play here, I like to think that Philly has been embarrassed a couple weeks now, that you'll get a better effort. Sanchez is brutal. Bradford's going to be back. DeMarco Murray's been criticized by teammates. You like to think that he'll play better. And I think the other thing to keep into account here, take into account, Bill Belichick loves Chip Kelly.
I thought that earlier, and then I was like, I'm crazy for thinking this.
Loves Chip Kelly.
I don't think he'll run up the score on him.
I also don't think he'll run up
like
the score.
Like, they're like boys.
They are boys. Like when Chip Kelly was the coach at New Hampshire before he went to Oregon, he was boys with Belichick.
But didn't Belichick do this with Greg Schiano, too? Like, he kind of, like, he didn't blow it. I don't know.
I think that you're right.
I feel like when they played, if they played, like, he didn't blow him out because he has respect for him. I also think, look, if Dont'a Hightower's out, the Patriots,
in theory, they should be able to run the ball.
The Patriots,
Philly.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a game where all of us, I don't think Philly's going to win.
No, they're not. They won't.
They won't.
No.
Because the Patriots don't lose at home.
They're not losing to the Eagles.
Right.
They're not happening.
But, crazy, weird things happen in the NFL. It wouldn't be that insane if Philly won this game, the Cowboys beat the Redskins, the Giants lose to the Jets, and all of a sudden Philly's on top
of
the
Pets' heads are falling off.
Yeah, but look, weirder stuff has happened. Yeah. I like Philly against the spread a lot in this game just because it's too high. Indy at Pittsburgh, we're almost done. I know that you're checking your watch because we have a show to do. Thursday Night Live, you should watch it every Thursday, CBSSports.com/TNF. Indy at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh getting 7 points.
I'll take the Colts begrudgingly. I will be far away from this game. I have been playing a lot of Sunday night games this year in the Super Contest and on Sportsline.
Mr. Sunday Night, right?
I think the moniker is Mr. Monday Night, and we can talk about that game coming up as well. I will take the Colts. I think this is a game team right now with Matt Hasselbeck. Needs a win. If Houston wins, to stay pace atop the AFC South. I don't know that the Colts will win the game, but I think that they will play well. I think 7 too many points. Give me Indy to cover the spread.
Pittsburgh getting that 7 because they put up 33 points against the Seahawks in Seattle. I tend to agree, but I like Pittsburgh to win this game. I feel like it's either going to be very close or very not close.
I have to be honest. I have no read on this game.
Yeah, I don't either.
None.
Roethlisberger's a little dinged up, but I don't think pain affects him a whole lot.
Well, he's Wolverine.
Yeah, yeah. The more he gets hurt, the stronger he gets.
Or, like, he gets hurt, and then he's healed, and then he plays.
Yeah, exactly. He has adamantium.
Adamantium, yeah.
Yeah, God, I got that right.
Yeah, yes. I mean, Hugh Jackman, get the hell out of my life. Ben Roethlisberger should be in the next X-Men movie.
He'd actually be good. All right, very quickly, the Monday night game, Mr. Monday Night, Dallas at Washington. Washington, the Redskins are a 4.5-point favorite at home on a Monday night.
Now, I don't think I'm contractually obligated to give my pick here because it will be behind the paywall, which you can get at sportsline.com coming up this Monday. And if you'll allow me to promote myself, I will. Thank you very much. I am 10-2-1 on the season picking Monday night games. And look, I'm always very honest, right? So there have been games on Monday night where I haven't felt great about the pick. Colts-Panthers. I got very lucky with the Colts backdoor covering that game. The Ravens-Cardinals. Catanzaro misses the extra point I covered in that game. I had the Ravens plus 8.5. They lost by 8. I didn't feel particularly confident in that pick. I feel really confident in my pick for this Monday night, and you can get it on sportsline.com coming up on Monday. Hashtag Mr. Monday Night as I look to improve to 11-2-1 on the season.
Excellent. All right. And we've kind of given out our best bets, and we have a show that we have to go do. So we will wrap it up here, but we will. You can keep track. You can tweet at us at Will Brinson, at The Costas, and we'll keep track of our 5 best bets, and we'll put it up into a post as we compete down the stretch. Thank you to Stamps.com for the sponsorship. Thank you for listening. Subscribe on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, and we will talk to you guys next week.